Recording.
Okay, we left off in Pekiyas on the Zion and Aleph. We're in the middle of some very unique drushas that the Gemara really kind of got a little bit tangential about. Drushas that revolved around names of cities in Eretz Yisrael. So although the Pesukim of Yehoshua, obviously the Pshuta Shel Mikra is just simply listing off the different names of the cities. Nevertheless, Chazal saw some ramazim and allusions and hints. There's some other kinds of a concept, even with the names of these cities themselves. So we left off on the Zion and Aleph. That Amalek, it's the end of the first of the wide lines, the very end of the first of the wide lines. Amalek, Elamiyata, if you're already dashing the cities of Eretz Yisrael, Tzikleg, Menmeina, Visansra, Hachinami, you're dashing those three cities. What in the world are you going to learn out of the significance of those names? Amalek, so he responded as follows, Ihaber of Gaviyah Mibe, Argiza, Hacha. If Rav Gaviyah was here, have Amal Bataima. He would have said something. He would have had a chap. He would have had a draw. He was such a darshan. He could have said some kind of a drush even out of those names of cities. So comes the Gemara and says, but my wasn't here. So Vachav Bechazo Abba. So Vachav Bechazo did add something to this discussion. Komishiyesh, again, it's a play on the words of these cities. Komishiyesh lo tzakas legima al chamera. Anybody who has a claim against his friend, monetary claim against his friend, the daimim, and decides, you know what, I'm just going to be quiet. I'm not going to pursue it. Sheikhin the snare Isaladin, though the one who literally dwells in the snare, Oya Kadosh Baruch Hu, will judge for him. He'll protect him. He'll make sure that his interests won't be compromised. So again, very fascinating drushes. Obviously, Chazal didn't mean this is the Pshuta Shemik of these things, but these ideas are true ideas, a little bit of a remnant whatsoever in these psukim. So now the Gemara is discussing a whole array of different drushes that derive from these. Somewhat obscure psukim, but he has another one, which has become a little bit more in the realm of halacha. Resh Galusa l'Ravuna. Resh Galusa was the political leader of the Jewish community in Babel. So he sometimes Resh Galusa was what the Mirchachavim, sometimes they weren't such great Mirchachavim. Sometimes they were tzaddikim, sometimes they weren't such great tzaddikim. It's a little hit or miss, but they were the political leaders of the Jewish people. So Resh Galusa l'Ravuna. Klila Milnalan the Asr. Apparently, this Resh Galusa was interested in knowing this piece of Torah. He asked him, how do we know this practice that we have that when somebody gets married, so one is not supposed to be wearing like a crown? Apparently, in the olden days, they would do almost like a crown on their head, and we don't do that. So, why don't we do that? So, Amalei Midrabanan. Rahuna said, there's no mokbar in Pesukim for this. This is a prohibition Midrabanan. Why is that? It's not. We went to the Mishnah and said, Asopta. But Pumoshul Aspasianus. During the reign of Aspasianus. Aspasianus was Vespasian. He was the one who was responsible for destroying the Beis Hamikdash. So he was the first, he was a general, then he became the emperor. So he was at that period of time. So during his reign, Gozru al Ataras Chasan de la Iros. Chazal made a gezerah that Chasanim, the groom, should no longer wear these fancy crowns as a zechel of korban. So terrible things were happening at that time. So they made a gezeira, they made a decree that it's not appropriate to get dressed up so for even at one's wedding. One has to tone things down a little bit. And they made a gezeira at the same time with Ibrus. Ibrus was a kind of instrument, kind of a bell or something Rashi describes. Again, it's hard to know exactly what it was. The Gemara Mesechta said describes it some kind of a bell, some kind of a musical instrument. So the Rav Huna told the Resh Galusa that there is no source for psukim that this is also. This is simply a gezeiras, the rabbanim that were made as part of a zeichel l'chorban. So Ado Hachi, as this discussion was going on, come Rav Huna l'afnuye. So Rav Huna got up to leave. And he gave his answer. He went to go say another shir. So he was about to leave. So Amalei Rav Chisda, so Rav Chisda was younger than Rav Huna at the time. He said, Kruxim, no, it's a puzzle. There's no puzzle. There's a source in Tanakh for this idea that we don't wear crowns anymore. The Pasuk says that we should remove the mitznefes. The mitznefes was the hat that the Kohen Gadol wore. So the Pasuk says, remove the mitznefes and take off the crown, and lift off the crown. The Pasuk concludes in saying that those who are lower are going to be raised up high, those who are up high are going to be lowered. So this Pasuk obviously not a very... out of her comforting pasuk, this pasuk is describing the tragedy that the Kohen Gadol is going to cease to be wearing his big dekahuna, which of course is a poetic way of describing the korban, and that's going to lead to terrible things as well. So asks Rav Chisda b'chima inyer mitznefes etzal Torah. Why does the pasuk put in the same phrase the mitznefes of the kohen gadol with the crown? Elom luchatu teaches the following: Bisman she mitznefes b'rosh kohen gadol, when the kohen gadol is wearing his crown, his mitznefes, his turban or hat, whatever the mitznefes was, different opinions. So then it is appropriate for atar b'rosh kohen gadol. Then I, as a regular guy, can wear my crown at my wedding. But nistalku mitznefes b'rosh kohen gadol, the kohen gadol is not wearing his crown, i.e., there's no mitzvah mikdash. Nistalku atar b'rosh kohen gadol. So then everybody has to take off their own crown. So again, the reason was fundamentally Zeichel Chorban, but Rav Chisda said it's even alluded to in the Psukim itself. So Adahochi, so as this whole conversation was going on, you can imagine a little bit of the drama here. So the Mishkalusa asked Rav Huna the question. Rav Huna was the greater of the Talmid Chacham at the time. He had asked Rav Huna. Rav Huna just kind of brushed him off by said, it's the Rabbanim. So there's no Pasuk in the Rabbanim. So Rav Chisda, the younger Talmud, said, no, it's a Pasuk. So Adahochi asked Rav Huna. So Rav Huna came back to the Smedish. Ashkechinu davi yasfei. He saw they were still sitting and discussing it. So he said, "Amalei Elokim midirabbanan." Elokim is like a Russian shvu. He's saying that it's only dirabbanan. It's a sort of nice, cute drasha. The mice, it's only dirabbanan. Ella, he said to him, "Chizda shmeich. Your name is Chizda. The chizdoy milech. Your words are very, very gracious. Your words are very beautiful. This is a nice thing. Chesed, a kindness." So he gave him Chizda the young man a little pat on the back. He said, it's a nice drasha. He said, but between you and me, it's still only been the Rabban. It's not really a real drasha. Ravina Ashche leMarbra Ashi have a gavu klu leBarsei. So Ravina was at the wedding of Marbra Ashi's daughter, and he noticed that Marbra Ashi, by the son of Ashi himself, was putting on some kind of a crown onto the cow's head. So Amalei. So he said to Losavla Mar. So Ravina was puzzled. He said to Marbra Ashi, "Don't you hold Hasim it's nefesh Marbra Torah?" Pasuk says that you have to, there's Bala Churban, you have to remove the Atari. Now you're not supposed to be wearing these crowns. Amalei said, no, do me the Kohen Gadol Begavrin. That only refers to a man's crown, to the Chosin's crown. The Pasuk is highlighting that it's not appropriate. The Kohen Gadol is not wearing his crown, and the Chosin's wearing his crown, so that doesn't look right. The Kala, she can wear her crown. So we'll make the Kala can wear her crown. So comes and Gemara concludes about the Nashe Loi, but women, that's okay. They was never included in the Gemara. My Zos Lo Zos, what is the end of that pasuk that the Gemara quoted before from Yechezkel? The pasuk says, Zos Lo Zos, this is what's going to happen. So Dorish Rav Avira, so Rav Avira had the following drasha. Zimnin Amalim Shmeid Rav Ami, Zimnin Amalim Shmeid Rav Asi. Sometimes he related in the name of Ami, sometimes the name of Asi. B'shosh Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Klal Yisrael, Hasab Et Nefes V'harim HaTorah. So when this devul was given to remove the crown, the idea that the Kohen Gadol is going to cease to be functioning, Ammalach Yashar Sabi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Malachim said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yibadosh Shalom, Zos Nevi Yisrael, that's the play on the word, Zos, no Zos. Zos, this is happening to the Jewish people. Sheik Dimu Lefanecha B'Sinai Nasa Nishba. Klal Yisrael said, Nasa before Nishba. So now you're taking away their crowns? A little bit of a play, what does that have to do with Nasa and Nishba? So Lechora, what the Gemara is referring to, is the Gemara Masech HaShabbos says, when Kleisel said Nasa and Nishba, there was Zochar two crowns, the one for Nasa, one for Nishba. So now the Malachim are coming with the tiding of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shalom, look at the Jewish people; they have such the merit of Nasa and Nishba. So Amalehen, the Rosh responded, "Lo Zos them Yisrael. They don't deserve this. Sheishpilas Tegavoa. They took the Gavoa. They took Aimi, the one which should be on top, and they put me down. The Gvuras Hashofel, and they took the Avodazar. They took that which belongs on the floor." And they put it up, they meet itself, and they put it cell, and they're going to pass it to the statue in the base of Mikdash proper. It was one of the events that we commemorate Shavuot Matavas, the Hulam Tzelabim, the Hechel, the Psukim described in Navi, that the Jewish people put an idol, it's sunk so low in Avodah Zarah, even the base of Mikdash proper, there was an idol that was placed at one point in history. So this is probably also a throwback to that Gemara Masechet the Shabbos, where the Gemara says that the Jewish people got two crowns. But when they made the Chet Egel, they lost the two crowns. So the same thing. You're entitled to crowns. When you say Nasa Benishma, you get crowns. You open it with a Zohar, those crowns get removed from you. So Dorash Rav Avira. So once the Gemara had a drasha of Rav Avira, so the Gemara gives you another drasha of Rav Avira. Zimin Amal Mishpeid Rav Ami. Sometimes he would relate this in the name of Rav Ami. Zimin Amal Mishpeid Rav Asi. Sometimes he would relate this drasha in the name of Rav Asi. What is the meaning of the pasuk by the Siv Koma Hashem? Im Shlemim v'chein Rabim v'chein Agozu v'Avar v'Kvet. So Im Roa Adam, if a person sees Shemizonosav mitzumtzamim, a person sees that they're that the food is going down. They see that the parnosa is not doing so great. So what should you do? Yes, we have tzedakah. So if you see things are not the way they should be, you should give tzedakah. Kosh king shem Reuven. Kalachayim, you're doing well. Madach, if you're not doing so well, so you would think I could skip a little bit. Still, you should give tzedakah. So for sure, if you're doing well, you should give tzedakah. My bechein nagozu. What in the world does the end of that pasuk mean? That it says that nagozu like lashon giza, that they're sheared, they're traveling, they're the sheep are being sheared. What in the world is that marshal? Tandere Rabbi Shmuel. If a person shears their money, maybe when you have a sheep, the sheep is loaded with wool, so you cut off some of the wool. Do we want to do it? It's over here. You have a lot of money. So take off some of the money. Give it to tzedakah. Most of it, tzedakah needs some medina shel gehenem. A person will be saved from punishment in the next world. It's chus tzedakah. Moshel, where is a fascinating moshel. What does it have to do with the wool? Moshel is terechela shay ovros b'mayim. A marshal to two little sheep, two little rachas, little female sheep that are walking through the water. Achas gezuzah and achas ena gezuzah. One of them has been sheared and one of them is loaded still with its wool. Gezuzah of Avra, one that's been cleaned of its wool, the one that sheared, it's not so fat, not so heavy, he's able to get through. V'she'ena gezuzah l'Avra, one that's full of wool, gets all bogged down, all waterlogged, but he can't even go. You see from here that if you have a lot of money, it's a good idea. Give money to tzedakah so you'll be able to pass through in a safer and a better way. What does the end of that pasuk mean? Abba Mazutra, feel the ani was passed by tzedakah. Even an ani who himself is getting tzedakah, yasif tzedakah, he should give a little bit of tzedakah. Should he give all the money? It's silly. Keep some of the money for himself. But even the ani should give his a little. Should also be in the spirit of things to give a little bit to help out others who are less fortunate than him. Lo emcha od. What does the end of that pasuk mean? Tani Rav Yosef Shul Ein Marim Losi Money Anius. So once a person gives tzedakah, that's he'll get a blessing from Hakadosh Baruch Hu that he himself won't be so poor anymore. So bottom line is, all these rushes ended in terms of all the nuances of these very very interesting psukim in Tanakh with these multiple deeper important mussar lessons. But tachas, now we're back to regular Gemara, back to the Gemara in terms of the sugyas, back to Maseches Gittin. So the Gemara makes reference now to the line, the Mishnah, Rida'im and Merekam and Mizrach v'chulei. So the Mishnah had delineated for us the borders of Eretz Yisrael. We said it's important for us to know for the purpose of Gittin, because the person who brings a get from Chutz La'aretz from Din HaSayam has to recite before the Nechtam for a variety of reasons. So the Mishnah made it clear to us, we hope you were making clear for us, what exactly the borders are. And the Mishnah really singled out three cities. The northern, the southern, the eastern border. The western border is obviously the Mediterranean. You don't need the Mishnah for that. But the Akko was the northern border of Eretz Yisrael. We spoke a lot of the Iyun Shirim about what that means. The Hif Akko, top of Akko, bottom of Akko. But definitely had something to do with Akko. You might comment, the name of the Akko is for the Eretz Yisrael. It sounds from this Mishnah that Akko is at the very, very tip of the north of Eretz Yisrael. That's why the Mishnah is drawing it as the absolute top line of the north of Eretz Yisrael. We have a contradiction from a Tesefta tucked away in Maseches Ahalos that seems to indicate that Akko is not the absolute tippy-tippy top of Eretz Yisrael. So the Tesefta is discussing the following Shaila. A person is walking on the way from Akko to Chaziv, and it'll be clear for the context, Chaziv is further north than Akko. So the question that the Tesefta is discussing, what the world has to do with Ahalos deals with the Dinim of Tumas Meis. There is a din with the Rabbanon that was instituted. It's called Tumas Eretz Ha'amim. And Chutz La'aretz is basically considered to be Tomei. Because it's unclear and nobody really knows where people are buried in Eretz Yisrael in the olden days. So they would keep clear where the basic curses were. They would keep everything properly demarcated. Chutz La'aretz is a hefker belt. So you don't know who was buried where. We might even discuss the possibility that the Mesim Mabel, this week's Basha, there are how many millions of people who have been buried, and we don't know where anything is in Chutz La'aretz. So therefore, mid the Rabbanan, the Medi Gezeira, that any time a person goes to Chutz La'aretz, they automatically become Tabi, which actually opens up a fascinating Shaila, how a Kohen can ever live in Chutz La'aretz. So that's a big, big Shaila. There are coolers. There are coolers, and the Medi Gezeira was a Kohen who lived in Chutz La'aretz. They're like Kohanim. Who lived in Chutz La'aretz, so there are certain kulas, but it's not simple. It's not so much to explain why it's mutter. But whatever the reason is, that the Tosefta is discussing now the following. The person is walking along the border of Eretz Yisrael, and it's important for him to know Is he in Eretz or is he in Chutz L'Eretz? Nafkamina, is he going to be tummy or not? So he's starting out in Akko, and he's walking L'Chaziv. So he's walking in a northerly direction. Now here it starts to get a little bit tricky in terms of the words of the Tosefta. So the Vilna Gaon points out that there is a very serious Girsa issue in this Tosefta, because if you read the Gemara, the way it appears in the text of our Gemara, it puts Akko on the wrong side of Eretz Yisrael. Puts Akko on the eastern side of Eretz Yisrael, which we know says the Gemara for a fact that it's just not correct. That Akko is obviously on the western coast. It's along the water. So I felt a little bit better because a couple of days ago, my son Yamasam Zeb was in the Tanya for a couple of days. The end of it, Asmanim, with a bunch of friends. So he told me he's all excited. They told him to wake up early to go watch the sunrise over the water. So I was excited. It's so beautiful. It's beautiful to watch sunrise, to watch Nates over the water. You know, I remember one time going to the Atlantic Ocean, and then I had such clear sadas. I realized the sun doesn't rise over the Mediterranean. It sets on the Mediterranean. It's west of Eretz Yisrael, not east of Eretz Yisrael. So I think he got down Vesikim, but he missed the sunrise. He was on the wrong side of the country. So I didn't feel so bad. I was thinking like, you know, east. I was thinking American. The Atlantic Ocean is the east. I didn't feel so bad. So I made the same mistake as it says in the Gemara. But I put a Tanya on the wrong coast. But whatever it is. So we're gonna allude to the gears that the Vilna Gaon has. The Gemara, it seems to be the more correct one. So Rabbeinu Hai Mahalach Me'achalak Ziv. So keep taking a look at the little letter Aleph over there. So Miyamino LeMizach Haderech Tahora Mishum Eretz Amim VeChayeves Mishum Ma'isa Mishum Shviyas Ad Shivaluch Hashi Chayeves. Whereas B'Smolo LeMayav Haderech Tamei. Everything is the opposite. So everything, whatever direction you saw, just put it opposite. The bottom line is that the Brais, the Seft is describing a fellow walking up the coast from Akko for the north, and he wants to know, is he in Eretz Yisrael? Is he not in Eretz Yisrael? So the Gemara says that the pathway is the border. So everything to his right is technically Eretz Yisrael. Anything to his left is really, even though it's still before the sea, that seems to still be not quite part of Eretz Yisrael. So there are two nafkaminas, the Dina. One nafkamina is the Tami or the Tahor. The other nafkamina is that area, if something would grow in that area, Chayv and Maisus, Chayv and Shvita. But what's relevant for us is the next line, at Hechan and Chaziv. When does this line end? At what point does he travel? He travels all the way up to Turkey. So he gets to the city of Chaziv. Chaziv, that's the end. That's the top, tippy top of Eretz Yisrael. He says a slightly different place. Again, I have no idea where. the proximity of these two cities, probably not too far from one another. So the problem...
Rashi's picture is
problem. Right. So this picture is not clear who exactly drew this picture. We're not saying that Rashi himself, but somebody put this picture in to try to describe what Rashi is describing. So the issue that relates to us is that it's clear from this whole discussion that Akko is not the tippy top. So here the Amish just says that Akko is the very top of Eretz Yisrael, and here the Tosefta is discussing higher places, Ksiv, Balbo, etc. So Amr Abaye said, Abaye said that the basic Gvul is Akko. That's what the Mishnah is describing. It happens to be a little bit of almost like a finger, like a little bit of a line of a strip of land that goes up that's still technically considered to be Eretz Yisrael. You have this very often. You know, you have this in by Metula, you know, by the very, very, very top of Eretz Yisrael. So just the way the war ended in 1948, you had this bazaar called the Etzba, something or other. Etzba Galil, I forget what the term is. There's a little bit of a strip of land that goes up, that goes beyond the regular border with Lebanon and still considered technically to be part of Eretz Yisrael. The only reason I know that because NCSY used to take us there. There was the Canada Center, but they used to have the ice skating rink and the indoor swimming for the part of our summer trip. So that was a very, very small, almost like a strip of land that's still technically Eretz Yisrael. I mean, technically Eretz Yisrael, for sure it is, but it's technically the state of Israel also. So Abai says the same thing over here, that this little small strip of land is not indicative of the entire Gvul going. So the Mishnah is talking about the basic Gvul ends at Akko, and this little strip of land goes up to Kaziv. So he asks the Gemara, Yoiv Tana Simana Hochi. So would the Tana describe such a thing? Tana is going to discuss this little two by nothing strip of land. He says, yeah, it's okay. The Gemara says, that's all right. Kronami Yoiv Simana. That kind of a description of a border appears in Pesukim also, the Siv. The Pesukim describe the innocent Shoftim that they were celebrating in Shiloh and they had an annual celebration in Shiloh. The Shem Mitzvona, the Beis El, Mizracha, Shemesh, the Mesila, Olu, the Beis El, Shechem, of Negalulvona. Very, very confusing description of the boundary there. It talks about the eastern boundary, and then it goes It talks about which goes up and then it's to the south. So Bemra Papa, what it really means is Mizrach Hashem Mesila. The Pesukim are describing that Mesila, that little strip of land also. And yes, you see that the Pesukim and the Tanoim would describe if it's there, they'll talk about it, even though again it's a seemingly insignificant piece of land. So now we get back to some of the halachic details about Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz Laaretz, particularly concerning Gittin, but we start to branch out to other things as well. Tanachada, we learned in one braisa, maybe get the Sfina, the person brings a get in a boat, can maybe be Eretz Yisrael. So at this point, it's not clear where this boat is exactly. So the Gemara thinks that we're talking about, it's being brought in one of the rivers in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara is going to revamp that in a little while. But right now, the Gemara thinks that a maybe get the Sfina is referring to one of the bodies of water in Eretz Yisrael proper, Kimei Eretz Yisrael. So that has the same status as a get that's brought in Eretz Yisrael. And another Tana says that no, that it's as if you're bringing the get from Chutz Laaretz. So the boat, even though the boat is technically within the borders of Eretz Yisrael, the fact that it's in a body of water, somehow that takes it out of the halachic status of Eretz Yisrael. And what says, what is that all based on? So Amar Rabbi Yirmiya Lekasha, there's no contradiction between the braises. There is actually a contradiction, but it's not a problem. Harab Yudah Harabana. There is an age-old machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. What exactly is the status of the bodies of water in Eretz Yisrael? So usually when we think about Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, the dry land. So what is the din? Is there any distinction whatsoever between the dirt, the Yavosha, dry land of Eretz Yisrael, versus the bodies of water of a river in Eretz Yisrael? Is there any distinction whatsoever? So we do have a record of a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in a different area of halacha concerning the mitzvahs that tluyos ba'aretz, and that machlokes is going to spill over to Gittin as well. If it's Eretz Yisrael for other areas, then we're treating it like Eretz Yisrael for Gittin, and there's no need to say b'fadin echdav. If it's not Eretz Yisrael for Trumas Ma'aser Shemitah, etc., then we're going to treat it like Chutz Laaretz. So what is this machlokes? The status, the Mishnah Maseches Chala, ofar Chutz Laaretz abba b'svina la'aretz. What if you have a boat in Eretz Yisrael and the dirt, a little dirt in that boat, you brought Chutz Laaretz dirt there. So you have a dirt that comes from America, but it's sitting in a boat, and the boat is it's in the river. I think the river, I'm not sure the name of the river. So the Yarkon is there, Yarkon River, the Tel Aviv or something like that. So it's in this quote unquote river, and it's in the boat. So the question is that considered to be part of Eretz Yisrael or not? So Chayv Maisa B'Shvita. So the Tanna Kamma says, yes, it's Chayv Maisa, it's Chayv Shvita. It's considered to be full-fledged Eretz Yisrael. I'm Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda says, not so fast. Eibosai, when is it considered to be part of Eretz Yisrael? Bizman Shasvina Gosheshes. If the boat is sitting on the ground in the river, I mean, it's submerged all the way to the bottom, so then we view it as the dirt that's in the boat is just an extension of the soil underneath it. The soil, the dirt is on the bottom of the river. So then we view that dirt that's inside the boat as being part of Eretz Yisrael proper. But if the boat is in the water proper, it's floating through the water, so then potter, then that dirt is not part of Eretz Yisrael. So fascinating, machlekes hatanoim, and we discuss Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Does Kedushas Eretz Yisrael only apply to the dirt level itself, or even somebody that's raised above it in this boat, in this water, that's also considered to be part of Eretz Yisrael?
I almost didn't find this would be relevant to
Kedushas. Excellent. Very, very good. So this becomes very problematic because this discussion is a Maestra Shaila, Shmita Shaila, it's a dirt shot, agricultural Shaila. Maybe Gem didn't say, has to do with Tamil Chachamim, has to do with do people recognize signatures. So this is an ongoing theme that repeats itself throughout the beginning of Masechus Gittin. When Chazal made the Takana of Chutz Laaretz versus Eretz Yisrael, so how much did they pattern this after? If it's Eretz Yisrael, then it's like this. If it's Chutz Laaretz, then it's like this. It's almost like a little plug in both directions. So that we saw this a little bit in the first sugya. That you find Eretz Yisrael is Kedusha Rishona, Kedusha Shniya, is it really Chayv Maisus or not? So this Gemara, 100%, this Gemara seems to be connecting the dots very, very clearly and saying that whatever you think Eretz Yisrael is for Tumas and Maisus, that is the definition of Eretz Yisrael, Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra, for the purposes of Gittin. So you're 100% right. This is not so clear that this is the exact ironclad equation. Because the reasons don't play out. The same amratzim are on the boats as they are on the dry land. The same people don't know you don't become a great tavachach when you're on a boat ride, so you're on a cruise. So you're right. It's a very, very good aura that you made. Excellent. Is this the cooler for that? Nice or so? It's part of the sugya. Tosis here about atzitz nakov. There's a whole sugya here. The Gemara is about to talk about it in a moment about the flower pots. This is part of the kula of hydroponics and the greenhouses. This is all part of this story. And when something is not growing in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael proper, it's either in the water of Eretz Yisrael, the hydroponics, or it's in the greenhouse, which is above the ground. So it may be a little bit different than Eretz Yisrael proper. Yeah, this is the basis for part of that discussion. So Abaye said that those two prices that we had about bringing the get in the boat in Eretz Yisrael, so may not necessarily be the machlekes or be the chachamim. It could be Abayim Haba Rabbi Yehuda. It could be that all the sources are following the view of Rabbi Yehuda. The lokasha, kambis manche eres fidi gosheshes, kambis manche eres fidi gosheshes. Both brises are following Rabbi Yehuda, but the two give different boats. In one brise, the boat is stuck into the ground, to the dirt, so then it's part of Eretz Yisrael. And the other brise of the boat is afloat. And the Yom precious, no, both above the ground level, and therefore it would not be Eretz Yisrael. So the bottom line is the Gemara clearly connected these two sugyas, the Eretz Yisrael definition for Tumas Maisa, Shemitah, as well as for Gittin. We're not 100% sure as to the details. Is the boat afloat or not? Is this Rabbi Yehuda? Is this the Rabbanan? But the basic fundamental premise is clear in this sugya. So now the Gemara takes this machlekes Rabbi Yehuda Nechachamim, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that unless the boat is sitting literally on the ground, it's not considered to be part of Eretz Yisrael. And according to the Rabbanan, that's not true. And the Gemara now relates this to something much, much more relevant for us. Amar Rabbi Zeira, atzitz naklov hamunach agabi yisedes. What if you would have a flower pot, an atzitz, that has a hole in it? So the significance of having a hole in it is that we assume there's some kind of a nourishment that's coming through, whatever that means, and some kind of a connection through the hole between what's growing inside the pot and what's the ground level itself. But it's not sitting on the ground. It's munach agabi yisedes. It's suspended on pegs. So the imagery being that just as the boat is suspended in the water, it's not touching the ground. So too, this pot is suspended above on poles, and it's growing above. Things are growing in it, but it's above the ground level of Eretz Yisrael. Would that be called Eretz Yisrael or not? Bottle machlekes rabbi the rabbanim. So Rabbi Zeir suggests that's the same machlekes rabbi in the chacham. According to the chachamim, it doesn't matter how far it is off the ground. Just as what's growing in the boat is Eretz Yisrael, what's growing in this flower pot is also Eretz Yisrael. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, no, if it's not on the ground, it's not called part of Eretz Yisrael. So this question, as Henry said correctly, I wouldn't even call this a $1 million question. I would say this is a multi-billion. You may be getting to the billions in terms of this, because the entire greenhouse industry of Eretz Yisrael is related to this issue. How do you, the basic challenge being, how do you create a situation where you're well within the quote unquote borders of Eretz Yisrael, and yet you are totally, completely circumventing the halachas of Shemitah that would permit you to plant and to harvest and to grow things, and not to be concerned with all the intricacies of the Shemitah? Can you create this above ground, farm basically? Which then it was about the schus to see some of the greenhouses in Eretz Yisrael during the Shemitah. Yes, some of them are absolutely fascinating in terms of the merging of the technology and the halachas to try to create such a unique situation. So much of the background of this actually starts with this Gemara. So comes the Gemara and says that this Shaila seems to be related to the Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. So Amar Rava, Rava said no. Duma loyi. So maybe it's not true. Ad kan lakam Rabbi Yehuda Hassam, ela besvina ha'asuya livroach. When did Rabbi Yehuda say that the boat is not part of the ground? That's because the boat's moving. So it's clearly its own entity, its own unit. It's not mechubah to the ground. But atzitz and also the vrach, the atzitz is not going anywhere. Why? The atzitz is stationary, so it's considered to be still part of the ground. Inam, or maybe the other way around. Ad kan lakamir rabban hasam ela besvina d'lamasik avira. Maybe the chachamim said that the svina, what's growing in the boat, is part of Eretz Yisrael, because there's no dabra mafsik, there's nothing separating. The mayaki aris bichtadamya. The water is just, that's part of the ground. That's natural way. About otzitz, whereas the otzitz, the flower pot, the mafsik avira loy, where there's a clear separation, an interruption of airspace there. So maybe that would not be considered to be part of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara is not sure whether the otzitz and the svina are really in sync with one another. It's fascinating because here you see something Mamash Chazal, literally at Ruach HaKodesh. You see the Chazal discussing something. Kama Shugan is putting a flower pot on top of pegs, and it's Eretz Yisrael, not Eretz Yisrael. The Chazal laid the groundwork for us to something that took 2,000 years before this became relevant. Like the Mefarshim point out, that in the Gemara in the Sugya of Eretz Amim, the Gemara quotes the whole Sugya about, if you take a guy, put him in a box, and toss him into Chutz Laretz, does he become Tommy or not? So people used to laugh at Chazal. That's what the rabbis spent their time on, putting people into boxes and throwing them over there. Until the Wright brothers came along. 1900 years later, they came up with the idea of, hey, that's what we do. If you think about it, next time you fly to Eretz Yisrael, they're putting you in a box to close the door, hoping for the best. They're throwing you a little bit more you know, complicated than that. But that's basically what the same model is. So very often in Teshuva there, we find the Chazal discuss situations of things that at the time seemed to be so wild and so bizarre. It's a Gemara in Maseches Chulin about if you take a rechem, take a uterus from a womb from one animal and you put it into another animal, has the impact of his bechorah. So people thought, come, give me a break. Until today, anything's possible. So even the wild sounding cases become very, very relevant. So the bottom line is, we are still not 100% sure about the boat. We're still not 100% sure about the flower pot. We're not exactly sure about the gittin. Besides that, we have perfect clarity in what's going on. So hopefully, Metz Hashem, we'll continue on the Kiyas on Thursday. We'll try to get to the next step in terms of these boats and these rivers and the flower pots.
Tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh.
Oh, tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh. So what time do we...